What if you weren't calling me because I happen to be Frank Marino of Mahogany Rush and I happen to have a Blu-ray out and, you know, I'm going on tour. Let's say you knew me. You're still you calling Frank and we're still talking about things over the phone.
Yep.
Why should our conversation be any different?
Mm-hmm.
Because a man or a person isn't what they do. A person is who he is. I'm not hyphenated. I'm not Frank the guitar player. I'm Frank. I happen to play guitar. I also play drums. I also like to cook pizza.
Pizza.
You know, being Italian, so
yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, a man is not what he does. A man is who he is, and by the way, he happens to do these things. You
and who I am as a man who likes to eat.
You'd call me, we'd have the exact same conversation if I wasn't Frank, the guy who's known.
Yeah.
Like I say, then I'm a man who likes to eat pizza then. That's
Yeah. Canadians, here's the problem with Canadians. Canadians have sort of made themselves hyphenated in other ways. So, you know, I'm a French Canadian, English Canadian, Western Canadian, Eastern Canadian. There's all these hyphens. We're hyphenated Canadians, right? When do we just become Canadians? When can we just be who we are without the hyphen, without the designation? You know, Canadian guitarist Frank Marino. No. Frank Marino, who plays guitar,
that is Canadian, is, yeah,
right. Right? Oh, where did he come from? Oh, he's Montrealer, but who cares, right? It's like, we are just who we are at the end of the day. Look at your own family. You've all got families. No one says, here comes the podcast guy. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It's just who you are. Whether it's, you know, whether it's Brett or Mo or whatever, you're just who you are at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day. So that's the way I see it. I do admit I get in a little trouble for it. It's not totally easy. A lot of guys are mad at me because I say stuff like this. It's not new what I'm telling you. I've said this a million times. I've been saying it for years. So, but look, I don't have to worry anymore, and I'm at the end of the racetrack here. There's less racetrack ahead of me than behind me, believe me, at my age. You know, the bank lady calls up the other day. She goes, Mr. Marino. Mr. Marino. To me, Mr. Marino is my father. Yeah, okay, yeah, I guess so. You know, we're offering this special thing because you're 65 now, and you can get this book. And I'm like, holy crap. Where did the time go? You know, she's offering me special tickets because I'm a senior citizen. It's weird. I don't feel like that. I feel like the same guy that started playing, you know, recorded Maxoon when he was 15, 16 years old. But you know what? That's the great thing about life. Every day is today. When tomorrow comes, it's today. It's always today. You only live today. And that's how I live. 10 years from now, if I live that long, 10 years from now is going to get here. But when it gets here, it's going to be today. So I'll be the same guy, except the calendar will have changed on my wall. Well, I could rip the pages off right now and pretend it's 10 years from now. I'll feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, it's
our thing.
It's so true, because I mean, things that I've said to Mo so many times before is just like, wow. I mean, we're not in our 20s, but. Sometimes it feels exactly like we're in our 20s.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys are doing this. Why? Why do you do what you're doing with the podcast and all that stuff? I mean, what is the essence of why you do it?
I'll give you two things. We love the topics we talk about, and it's fun.
Now you just said the two words that need to be there, love and fun.
No,
that's it.
And that's it. And you know what? You're going to do it if it's successful, and you're going to do it if it's not successful. You do it for those reasons. And guess what? What if it becomes so successful that they say, oh, my God, have you seen the latest Brett and Mo thing? You know, like, what if people start saying that in India and in China and all over the world? You'll be the successful version of who you are, but except you're still going to be doing it the same way.
Yep.
It's true.
You're not going to suddenly get up and say, hey, by the way, China called. We have to act differently now, and we have to look at it all differently. You know, you're not. You're just going to be who you are. I know that. And if you started doing it the other way, well, one of you should turn to the other guy and give him a smack on the head, you know, and say, wake up, dude, you know. Let's not get out over our skis here.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I know off the top of when we were doing this, I mean, there was struggles, and there were times where it was just like, oh, yeah, somebody, so-and-so doesn't want to come on the show. We're too small, this and that. But, you know, that it was just like, oh, I wonder if we should stop. Well, no, because when it happens, it's great. And now that you know, more happens and we're bigger and things are easier, then it's just like, it's still great because we just enjoy doing it.
Look, the one thing that you do get to cultivate in your work and in my work, and it shares a common bond, is we get to cultivate relationships with people, right? So that's the cool thing. It's like meeting people. You get to cultivate relationships. It's a good thing. Relationships are a good thing. I like to say relationships are the currency of heaven. You know, it's a good thing. If a person closes themselves off and says, oh, well, they're not going to talk to you because you're too small, it's like then you were only being used anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real relationship there, right? So I like to do that. I'll talk to whoever wants to talk to me, and I'm not asking for their bona fides or there's no reason other than the fact that someone wants to talk to me about stuff. I just like the interaction. So how is this any different than if we happened to be at a coffee shop and we started up a conversation? That's the cool part, the relationship that you're building with people. And if you have a lot of those, you know, you're pretty rich. It's a pretty fulfilling experience to say that you can have real conversation. But let's be honest. The more famous you become, let's say your broadcast becomes more and more famous, okay? Really famous. Like I saw a story the other day of a YouTube kid that made $22 million last year. He's an 8-year-old. He's the leading maker of money on YouTube. He's an 8-year-old kid who made $22 million showing his toys. His toys. Here's the toy I like today. So that can become famous. Things that people do can, for some reason or another, become famous. Let's say it did, in your case, become that way. Now you have a bunch of guys calling you to try to talk to you. That's what happens with Howard Stern or any of these other people that have these radio shows that the world listens to. But now you've become the conduit that they want to use. It isn't even about the relationship. But the point is, if all of a sudden you did get that way, and then the famous guy calls you to get on your show, and he talks to you, hey, Mo, how you doing? Hey, Brett, good to hear from you, man, guys, blah, 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 guys. And he's talking all like he's the best buddy. How come he didn't do that when you weren't famous? How come? Why did you have to become famous for him to say, hey, man, how you doing? I love you guys. Why? So you could be used? And it works the other way. You got a lot of famous bands that smaller productions try to get to talk to them. And then you got famous broadcasters that smaller bands try to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's looking for a leg up, right? But at the end of the day, are they really your friends? You know, really? Come on, man. We didn't come down with yesterday's rain. So I try to maintain the same. I'm the same guy I was in 1970, and that may be a bad thing. And some people say, you didn't progress. You know, you're stuck in the past. You're a dinosaur. I says, yeah, okay. But I'm happy. I'm not miserable. I'm happy with whatever I have, and I don't have much, and I'm happy that I don't have much. Maybe because I don't have much, I'm that way. Maybe if I owned a home and had the latest car and had all kind of money in the bank, maybe I'd be an asshole. Who knows? But by the grace of God, you know, God only gave me enough that I need to live. I'm 40 years with my wife. I have three girls. I'm okay. Well, how's that a bad life? It's pretty good. And I play an instrument. I can make up music when I like, you know. I don't have to do something for a record company, and I don't have the obligations to. Hey, man, I didn't go to high school. I wouldn't have been able to handle high school being told, do this, sit here, sit there. I was making music, and I was lucky to be doing it. Never had to have a job, never had to have a boss. No one ever said, you're late, blah, 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 you know? That's a good life, man. That's an incredibly good life. Okay, I didn't get the money. I agree. I could have had millions and they stole it. I agree. But I'm okay. I'm glad that it happened that way. People don't believe me, but I actually am. I really am. You know, because if you only have what you need, you don't have to have more behind that. You know, my mom used to make spaghetti or whatever, and the plate would show up with food on it. I didn't say, make sure there's more in the pot there. as long as the dish was there, I could have been, if I looked at the pot, it might have been scraped at the bottom, but didn't matter. I had the dish. And it's like you're rich. If all you have is all you need, that's like being a billionaire in a kind of roundabout way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that hurts most of the guys in our industry, and in any industry, is desire. They desire this or they desire that. And then the question becomes, what are you going to do to get what you desire? What are you going to sell out to get what you desire? What principle are you going to overcome to get what you desire? Desire is a tyrant that one serves. So if you don't desire greater things, if you're happy with what you desire, well then... You don't end up breaking your own rules. That's sort of the way I see it.
Yeah, and then you can get into people who have expectations of things, and it just sure. Carries on from there. Yeah.
Yeah. What is an expectation, really? At the end of the day, when was anyone's expectations ever fulfilled in reality? Ever? When did anyone say, "Yep, I got everything I expected and wanted"? Anywhere. I mean, the whole point about the reason that Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, Facebook and Twitter, which I don't do, okay? I don't do the Facebook thing and Twitter and all that stuff. Some people take care of a page for me, but I think I've been on once to say thanks to somebody. But, you know, the reason that's so successful, you know, people, I don't have one of those phones, by the way, guys, full disclosure, I don't have a cell phone. I'm still on a landline and I don't want a cell phone because I don't want to be getting text messages and talking to people over glass, you know. And I'm not computer literate. I'm very literate electronically. I have computers, but I just don't want to be part of the phone culture, you know. And the reason that is so successful, the Facebook pages and that, is because people are vicariously getting applause through that medium. So look, they measure it. What do they call it? Likes.
Yeah.
This guy got 60 likes and that guy got 50 likes. So they're giving them some kind of validation, you know. And it's one thing to say, here's my latest artwork, and then he gets a lot of likes. It's another thing to say, oh, my toast didn't turn out right today, and he gets a lot of likes, you know? So people are living vicariously through these various social media accounts and getting approval. They're living for approval, you know? Reminds me of that Bugs Bunny cartoon with the little dog and the big dog. Hey, Spike, hey, Spike, hey, Spike, hey, Spike, you know? Is it okay, Spike? Am I doing this right, Spike, you know? And then the big dog is the world. And the little dog is the guy with the social media account who wants everyone to like what he says. And more often than not, you get, you know, trolls, and it divides people, and they start arguing over nonsense and stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with their lives. whether it's politics or whatever. And then it creates all this division. And then you get camps, and this guy's part of this camp, and this guy unfriended this guy, and all these words you hear, new jargon. Why is that supposed to be good? That's not good. My house, I live right beside a bus stop, and I sometimes sit there looking out the window, and the bus stops every 15 minutes right in front of my house. And at night, the bus is lit inside. I see like 30 people in the bus are all looking at a phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something out of Orwell. It's like ridiculous. I have three daughters. They'll come over with their friends. You know, my house is like a drop-in center. And they'll come over with their friends, and they're all hanging around in the same room, and they're talking to each other on the texting each other in the same room. I said, what? Is there something wrong here? Guy asked me the other day, he says, Frank, you're 65 now in the music industry. And he was talking about the music industry, but I turned it around. He says, you know, what do you find most different today than in the beginning? Over, what have you come conclusion, you know, what conclusion have you come to that you find the most different about today than when you started? He expected a musical answer. I said, you know what I find the most different? When I open the window now, I don't hear any kids outside playing. It's like a mausoleum out there. Mm. I'm lucky if I hear cars. Nobody's talking to anybody. But when I was young, you hope we had to close the window because it was getting in your microphones. Hey, Johnny, give me the ball, whatever, football, hockey, baseball. Everyone was talking to each other outside. People were outside. They were interacting. And then neighbors, you'd hear it from the windows, you know? I lived in that kind of neighborhood. Now, you open a window, you're lucky if you hear a bus. Nobody talks to anybody. Nobody looks at anybody. Pass people on the street. Nobody says, hello, how you doing? Doesn't happen anymore. We've come into some kind of society where everyone's separated, but all of a sudden they're connected through the glass of their telephone or their computers. That's not a world I like, but that's the world it is. Mm-hmm. You have to make the best of it, right? Not going to change it. No one's going to change the world. They think they are. They need to see a shrink. You know, that's you know how you change the world? You change your life. You don't go mow the lawn of everybody else. You mow your own lawn, and you hope they see it, and they're jealous, and they mow their own. You know, like that's sort of what the way I look at it. And our industry is largely responsible. The entertainment industry is largely responsible for the way things have become. So let's change the paradigm. Let's just do it a different way. Let's, you know, go out and play when we feel like it. Let's set up, and like I used to do in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, Mahogany Rush, we would say, oh, come on, let's go play at the park. And we'd get a little generator or something and hook it up and just start playing music. And people would show up. That's what was cool. That's what was fun. Why not? You don't have to be big, guys.
I think you should do that tomorrow, honestly. I think you just get your friends to show up at the park.
If I was one of the rich artists, okay, this is the thing I'd hope so much that people would, you know, I had these sort of visions of grandeur that, wow, if people really buy this DVD and I actually become rich, which I never will, but let's say it happened, right? And I become rich by it. I'd be that guy. I'd be that guy. Like, let's say I had the money that some of these big bands have. A lot of them have a lot of money, guys. They have like hundreds of millions of dollars. They could do what I'm saying. They could do it. They don't have to wait for the promoter to say, we'll give you this, and do you want a detour to come and play here? They could actually just go there. The big guys. They can go anywhere. Why don't they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What? So it's nothing. It cost for that. When someone with that kind of money, it would cost them nothing. That, relatively. It would be like me spending $20. You know? So it would cost them nothing. And I would love to be that guy. I would love to be to have so much dough so that I could just do these things for nothing. Okay, let's go on a tour. Let's, you know, let's go to every city and play for free in each one of them. Why not? Why does it have to be about selling tickets? I know it has to be. I'm not being an idiot. Okay?
But
I'm
no, thinking, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
It's just sort
I get
of
your
you know, musing on, like, yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to, you know, believers all want to get to heaven, okay? And they say, and we've heard this a lot of times, well, he's up there now jamming with Jimmy and, you know, blah, 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 as if there's this big jam session going on. I don't think it's that way, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
They say that, right? The next question has to be, yes, but are they charging? You know, do only some of the angels get to go watch?
Yeah, who gets the VIP tickets there?
Yeah. And where did they get the gear? You know, like, do they have to pay for that amp? Right? So it would be really nice if we had this kind of heaven on earth, but you make a heaven if you want on earth. You can do it if you have the money and you're willing to spend it. You know, you don't have to look at it as charity. You just have to look at it as like you're going to use your own money to entertain yourself, never mind entertain others.
Because you are going to have a good time.
We do it on vacations.
Yeah.
We say, come on, kids. We saved up all year. We're going to jump in the car and go to Shediac, you know, and go to the beach, right? Now, we don't get there and tell the kids, well, we can't go swimming because we're charging you a cover. <You know? laughs> We brought you to the beach so that we can have this great vacation, but I'm sorry, we'll rent you the bathing suit. It's not a business. So that's the way I see it. And I wish it was all free. I really do. I wish it was free. I'm not a socialist. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in that stuff. But I'm just saying, you can't legislate charity. So if you want to give, give. But if you don't have it, you can't give. And all you can do is muse about it, like I'm doing here.
Mm.
And people say, oh, yeah, but you wouldn't do that if you actually had it. I said, well, try me.
Let's find out, shall we?
Yeah, give me your money and you'll see. I'll spend it on that.
Yeah.
You know? I really will. I'm not going to hoard it. What am I going to hoard it for? You know, you can't take it with you, as they say.
Yeah. No, it's...
So that's what I'd love to see. When I said change the paradigm before, that's what I meant. I meant, wouldn't it be great if, you know? Wouldn't it be great if... But that's like saying, wouldn't it be great if I had a windshield wiper that didn't smear? You know, you still got to build one, you know, and make it work. So this is where we are, guys. This is where we are.
Wow.
Maybe they will buy this DVD and I'll get rich and then you'll see that I'll do it.
Well, yeah. And oh, yeah. I hope that everybody does buy the DVD so you become rich, so that you come here and so that we can see you.
Oh, hell, yeah. We'll probably just get in the car and start following you around from city to city then.
Well, here's what happens. This tour we're going on, like, because I don't tour often. So now we're getting all these emails. This guy's coming from Sweden. Another guy's coming from England. Another guy's coming because they know that I don't do a lot. So they are flying into these gigs.
Yeah.
And so this is what happens. You know, I'm not a guy who goes out and I don't flog it all the time. When's the last? I was 9 years ago. I was last doing it. You know, and so I don't flog it. Because I don't really care about the business end of it. I don't care.
So I guess there won't be any nerves about getting on stage after 9 years or anything then, because you don't care.
I've never had nerves about the actual gigging or the playing. It's just something I've always done, right? So it's so second nature. But I have to admit that I do feel a bit different physically now. I hadn't, let's say 9 years ago, I didn't feel any different than 9 years prior to that. But I certainly feel different now than 9 years ago. Physically, my feet, my legs, my hands, you know, like you start to wear out, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit, you know, not worried, but concerned that maybe I should, you know, eat better or exercise a little or trying to get in shape, you know, because I don't play 45 minutes, you know, so every night, you know, five nights in a row, day off, five nights in a row, day off. It's not, I got to be somewhat in shape. So I will confess that I'm a little apprehensive about that aspect of it. But as for the songs or the playing or what I'll play or whether people will like it or not, no, that's going to be fine. You know, it always has been. It's never not been. So it would be a real surprise to me if it wasn't. But I've never had a kind of a stage fright or anything like that. I guess that's because I started so young, right? So I didn't know any better. I was 15 years old. You know, you don't know any better when you're 15 years old. Oh, wow, we're playing. Oh, people like it. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
You know? And then it stayed like that all the time. You know, I didn't go through the come up through the clubs thing like a lot of bands do. It was all of a sudden I was on a record label. All of a sudden I was playing gigs, you know? I was this kid that didn't know what was happening. And that became my life until I grew into it. So I never looked at it as a nervous thing. I'm very quite comfortable in front of people playing, the same way I am if you're at my house, you know.
It's kind of the same thing. People don't talk much about your singing, but I mean, was it just the same thing? Singing, you started singing because I guess you're playing music and you didn't think about it. Was it just? You know,
well, singing. Yeah, I am a little more apprehensive about the singing now because I'm older and I just quit smoking.
Wow.
So what, 3-4 months ago? And hopefully that's going to help me be better as a singer when I sing. But I never thought of myself as a singer. Singing was always my secondary thing, you know, like I had to do it because I was the only guy in the band who did do it. Listen, if the other guys in the band were singers, I'd have been just as happy to have them sing. But they didn't, so I had to. And in the early parts of my career, I was so shy of it, I would talk my way through the songs. You know, like sort of Dylan-esque type of talk his way through it, you know? But now, I think that's probably my greatest concern. Am I going to have the breath to actually do that part of it, you know? I guess I'm going to find out. Because we're not a band that rehearses. We jam. So there's no script, really. Never had a set list.
Wow.
No, we make it up as we go. When you have a lot of material, you can do that.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get out there and do the best that we can. The DVD, the box set DVD, that's like in all of that 6 hours, many of those tracks were never done before. It was the first time live. I mean, oh, let's do this song. Oh, let's do that song. Oh, you know, I tell the guys, Dad, you learned those songs? Yeah, we know them. Okay, boom. We just play it. It's again, like going to the house with the piano and saying, hey, do you know She Loves You by the Beatles? Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. And everyone sings it. You know, if you know a tune, you just play a tune as a musician. That's sort of how I've always approached it. And that's what makes it the most fun, guys, because even we don't know what's coming next.
Uh-huh. You know, that's great. That's
what makes it the most fun. I played with a lot of bands that scripted things. You could see the shows were very, very scripted. You know, I would watch them. And I would, because you're on tour, you see it every night type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it was like super, super scripted, like where they stood or what the light did at a certain moment. And even to the point where with some groups, you know, when you sometimes see the guy on stage, he'll finish a song and he'll go get a towel, he'll wipe his face and he'll take a sip of a water bottle. Like a lot of times that was scripted with some groups.
Really?
Yeah.
It went that deep. Wow.
Get the water bottle, take the sip, wipe the face. You know, it was like an act. Some bands were like that. It was very scripted. So if you followed it around from city to city, you saw that show. You know, they used to title their shows or their tours, like Queen, the Sheer Heart Attack Tour, you know, like that type of thing. They would call it a name, right? And then people could say later, I saw the Sheer Heart Attack Tour when, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
very, very little deviation from the script in the case of a lot of groups that do that kind of music that requires it to be very rehearsed. Now, you have the other kind of band, like mine, that basically, you know, wings it or adds to it or makes it up as they go, like the Allman Brothers, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that adds a lot of jamming in there, and it can go one way or the other on a given night. That's sort of what we are, that type of band. You know, Jimi Hendrix, he'd be like, well, you know, there's no real set list. It's like they'll play a few of their songs and they're different every time, you know? But there were bands like that were very, very well rehearsed groups. I'm sure Pink Floyd is always the Pink Floyd show. You know, when you see a Pink Floyd gig, because they have all the light things that have to happen and effects, and they have to come at the right time. And bands like Yes, I'm sure, are very rehearsed. You know, bands like Queen were very rehearsed. Some more than others. But bands that do blues rock or jam rock like mine, they're not as rehearsed. It's more like, well, here's the head of the tune, here's, and this is the part where we're going to go off somewhere, you know? That's more like what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess would people follow the Grateful Dead around if they were super well rehearsed? Probably not.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the Dead, well, the Dead have deadheads, right?
Yeah.
So deadheads go to all the gigs. And yes, they would see every night that it was different. It would have to be different. You know, the nature of some of the songs is that way, you know. And in my case, people do, you know, because we don't tour often, people do come to 2 and 3 and 4 shows in an area. That does happen. So, you know, I don't want to be playing the same thing. I'll play the same song, but it's always like a different version of the same song.
There's right.
So many ways that you can do it, you know? And so, yeah, that's just to try to keep it as real as possible. You know, you don't want to, at least I don't want to come off as being a guy who's trying to sell them something, you know, like step right up, sell them something. It's Frank, you know? Frank's playing. You know? That's what it is, you know. If you knew me, let's say you knew me, how would you react if you knew me? If you were my friend and you happened to come to the gig, you don't want to see Frank all of a sudden not be Frank.
Right.
You'd say, well, what happened? Like, why is he doing that? Like, why is he this other guy, you know? So that's sort of the way I look at it. I could be friends with anyone in the crowd, you know, like it's not, I don't look at us as having a separation wall. I never really did either. It's kind of like, okay, whatever. Could have been me out there and them up here. What's mm-hmm. the difference?
Yeah. Well, and I guess this way the fans know that whenever they come to see you, they are getting the 100% unvarnished Frank Marino.
Yeah, yeah. Whether that's good or bad is up to them, but right. that is what they're getting.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> The 100% unvarnished is quite bad to some people. You know, I think, oh, no, varnish it quickly. You know? Put some shine on it, Frank, you know? But no, that's you are what you are. You never want to have to apologize for who you are. I mean, that's kind of stupid, right? So you just be who you are and don't expect everyone to like you. Like, not everyone's going to like you. They didn't even all like Jesus. Why would they like me? Okay? Like, let's put this in perspective here, you know?
Helix has that song because even Jesus wasn't loved in his hometown.
Yeah. And
so,
that's
yeah.
That's his own quote, by the way.
Yeah. Jesus' quote. You know,
but it's true. It's so true. And it's beyond me why a band is disappointed or freaked out or upset if the crowd didn't like them or someone in the crowd didn't like them or someone wrote a post that was negative about them. It's like, well, did you expect that like to be like all, you know, hearts and roses? Like, you're not realistic. Not everyone's going to like what you do. Here's the greatest test to find out if everyone will like what you do when you're in a rock band. You know what that is? Take your hardest metal tune, okay, you know, with the Cookie Monster vocals and everything, and go and see, yeah, and go and play it to the old lady, 79-year-old lady down the hall, down the street, and say, I want you to hear this song, and see if she likes it. Now, if you expected her to say yes, you need a doctor. You know, not everyone's going to like your music. The reason that you play a concert and it's in a, let's say, 1,000-seater, and you sell 700 tickets is because that's how many people like your music in that city of 2 million. Okay? If the other 300 that didn't come, if you go to their house and play the music, they'll say, get out of here, you're making noise. So if the 700 do come, and then of the 700 who paid to see you, they don't like you, you fucked up.
Perfectly put.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? We have taken a whole ton of your time, Frank.
Take all the time you like, and you don't have to call me just because of the podcast. You can call me anytime. You want to ask me something or even, you know, hang out, you can call me. You got my number.
Yeah. You're opening a door.
I'm really not kidding. You'd be surprised how many people do.
Wow.
Oh, that you will definitely be hearing from us again. But on this chance, we want to definitely sell the millions and millions of the Blu-rays so that you can just tour and hang out.
Millions. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I'd be happy with thousands and thousands. Okay?
Well, where can they find those thousands? Just where's the best place to buy the Blu-ray?
It's online. We're selling it ourselves. So it's mahoganyrush.net/DVD. Mm-hmm. That's the page, you know, mahoganyrush.net/DVD. But you know what's even better? I find that this kid did a trailer for it. I don't know if you saw this.
I did. Yes.
He did a long one and he did a short one. I didn't do those trailers. This kid Ryan did them. He did it. I thought he did an amazing job. Okay. So if the people just go to YouTube and write Frank Marino DVD trailer, that'll also tell them where to get it too. But it's an interesting trailer. I think he did a really good job. I don't know if you saw it. He's got the sound from the live album in it, and he put all kinds of shots together and quotes and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I thought it was he did a great job. And then he did a second one, a short one, where he's got the guys on camera. Like, he's got Johnny Winter on camera talking about me. And,
wow.
Stuff like that, so it's a shorter trailer version. I don't know, he's probably doing a few more, but I think he did a fantastic job, Ryan. He's the son of my engineer that I used on all the albums in the 70s.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And so, yeah, mahoganyrush.net/DVD, they'll find, you know, all about it, and the trailer on YouTube will take them there anyway, but... Look, guys, if people support it, it's like I say, if you build it, they will come, that movie. You know, if people support it, I'll keep supporting people. You know, it's symbiotic. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It was meant to be, and, you know, that'll be the end of that. I'm not going to chase it, or I'm not a guy looking to create a career, so to speak. I'm kind of looking to conclude one. And, you know, this is sort of the way I look at it now. I can tell you this. I know that people say never say never. I know people say that, but I don't think you'll ever see me, you know, chasing the business at 75, 80 years old and trying to continue to do that. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think at some point, you know, you have to sort of say, I'm not 21, I'm not 22, and I'll always make music, I'll always record music. I can't honestly say I'll always tour music.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to the point where you just can't anymore. And not that you don't want to, but you just can't. And so I can't, I don't know what the future will bring with that, but the business will largely determine that. It's never going to be up to me unless I get so filthy rich that I'm able to do it myself, and then I can tell you what I'll do. But that's so ridiculous. It's like wishing for the lottery. It's that kind of odds, you know? It's doing well. People are supporting it. I'm surprised at how well they're supporting it. I wouldn't be having these tours and these gigs and these offers if it wasn't doing well. So I'm really glad about that. But what I'm most glad about is that since it came out, I haven't had one person tell me that it wasn't good.
Mm.
And I did get that with some of my albums. You know, so I'm pretty happy about the fact that people are very, very pleased with the DVD. They think it's good. It sounds good. It looks good. It's done well. And it's genuinely an indication of the band. That's very, it's very organic. It's not, this show is not a bunch of lights and show, crowd shots and, you know, that type of thing. It's like you're seeing the band play and you're on stage with the group. And the sound is like that, too. It's a very, very on-stage kind of sound. It's not like you're in the 50th row hearing it with the echo.
Yeah.
It's very, very clear. And so I'm happy about that. That, to me, that's a success, you know? That's a success at this point. But, guys, you know, get me to Calgary.
Yeah, we're going to do what we can.
Don't tell
us. We're going to do what we can on our end. That's for sure. Awesome, Frank. So thanks so much, and you can be guaranteed we will be talking to you again sometime, like
for sure,
on the show or not. As this was a great, I feel like I was under the Frank Marino learning tree. We learned a lot about life, and you know, a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it may be too long for your audience.
Who knows?
It might go into two shows. We'll have to decide that.
But, yeah, well, yeah. Let me know when it's happening. Send me a link or whatever. Or I don't know how it works, this stuff. But, you know, you let me know, and I'll let everyone else know. If there's a link that that you want people to hear it, you can put it on my page or whatever. You know, I'll tell the guy who does the Facebook page, which is Willie, you know, they sent me a link. This is supposed to happen. Let's see. I'm really winging it, guys. We're winging it here, you know? Let's see what happens. I like to say that. We'll see what happens. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to everybody. And I wish the best of everybody in to everybody in 2020. Let's all get 2020 vision for 2020. You know? And we'll see what happens.
Awesome.
Well, that works for us, Frank, and thank you so much. And of course, we wish all the best to you with everything going forward. And thank you so much.
Same to you, guys.
Awesome. Well, have a great night, Frank, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Ciao. Bye.
All right, bye now.
Sound inside my head like a sound of Thank you.